Inside on Business, the news hour, is made possible with support of the Strudelhaus, the Metro's only authentic Austrian cafe, bakery, and wine bar, strudelhaus.com. And RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices across the greater Des Moines Metro. Find them at realestateconcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. In studio is Brian Gillette. He's the Chief Operating Officer and partner at Group Benefits Limited. Last week, there was a shocker that happened when Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, for some 30,000 individuals, indicated their rate increase would be upwards to 43%. Other insurers across the state of Iowa are following suit. Thought we'd sit down with Brian Gillette and find out what he knows about all these things. Welcome to the NewsHour, Brian. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, that was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
It was an eye-opener for sure, although I would argue that those of us in the industry, it wasn't really a shocker. In fact, for a long time now, 2017 has been on the horizon as a time when lots of folks understood the carriers who offer individual policies to those people who just buy their own insurance, right, don't get it through an employer, that it was going to be a very tough year rate increase-wise in 2017. So actually, while being very significant, it wasn't a real shock, at least to those of us who've been following it now. Those people who are getting these rate increase letters in the mail, I imagine it's very shocking.
Absolutely. One of the things I think that's interesting about that is Wellmark, in their press release last week, they indicated that they're losing something like $99 million because this cadre of individuals, it's 30,000, 40,000, what the number was, are sicker. And that's driving up healthcare costs.
Yeah, I mean, Wellmark, it's very easy to point fingers at the carrier who's delivering the rate increase news. But in fairness to Wellmark, for these 30,000 individuals, and these are individual purchasers who have what are called ACA plans or Affordable Care Act plans. So there's a whole separate set of over 100,000 who have individual plans that are not yet required to move to the ACA. So those folks, this doesn't impact. But for those 30,000, Wellmark, it's pretty simple. For every single dollar Wellmark collected in premium, they paid out $1.27 in claims. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have to be an actuary to figure out that's not sustainable. They've lost $99 million in the last 2 years. And needless to say, when you're running a 127% loss ratio, you're going to have a significant rate increase.
And this is across the board. We have heard from several other insurance companies that are also taking a look at increasing the rates. Not to put politics in all of this, but obviously there are people that have been commenting about this. This is the effect that ACA has had on the insurance industry. Is it because of these healthcare options? And by the way, healthcare outcomes in the United States trail many civilized countries all over the planet, mm-hmm, including Scandinavia. So is it time, perhaps, to look at single-payer opportunities that might have the government step in?
You know, and that's going to be a common, I think, reaction to these rate increases. When you talk about moving to a single-payer, you're still, in my estimation, what you're doing is shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. Because regardless of who pays the bill, mm-hmm, I mean, if you could say, okay, let's go to single payer and the government will now pay all of these claims. We haven't lowered the costs. And so whether you're paying it to a company like Wellmark or whether you're having a massive tax increase and letting the government pay the claims, at the end of the day, unless we get medical costs lowered, it is going to continue to be an extraordinarily burdensome issue for Americans. We are at the point today where one in every $5 that is spent on anything in this country is spent on healthcare. It doesn't matter who's paying the bill. That's really not what's driving the costs up, is the fact that you have Wellmark there. You know, Wellmark's administrative costs are about 10% generally. So you could get rid of Wellmark and you'd save 10%.
Now what?
Yeah. And next year, when healthcare costs go up more than 10%, we're right back where we were. So what I would like to see happen is an elevation of the discourse about what actually contributes to these high premium increases. Because it's as simple as it is healthcare costs going up that is really what we should be focusing on. The more we focus on the insurance companies or maybe the government, and the less we focus on what actually drives healthcare costs up, we're just never going to accomplish anything.
You know, one of the other stories that we had a couple of weeks ago was hospitals. What hospitals are experiencing right now. Many hospitals are breaking budgets. I mean, going well over what their expected revenue was, simply because they are full to overcrowded, because all these people have some sort of health care insurance that they've not been utilizing before. So how is it that health care costs continue to go up while our hospitals, many, are seeing increased revenue and profits?
Yeah. I mean, those two things are obviously closely related because it's great for the hospitals. They're full. I mean, there's revenue for them. And now a higher percentage of their patient load has insurance, which means they're going to get paid. A hospital will tell you that they do a lot of service that they would never get paid for, and that is going to drive up costs for everybody else. Well, now a higher percentage of the patient load has insurance, and therefore the hospital's getting paid, but ultimately it's just running the meter. I mean, the price tag is going up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of those root causes as to why healthcare costs in this country remain staggeringly high, and at the same time, our medical outcomes are staggeringly low. What's going on?
Well, there's a couple broad pictures I'd want to paint for you. The first one that I think everybody as Americans should just recognize is that 50%, yes, he said 50% of healthcare costs are attributable to preventable behaviors. So, look, we're not a particularly healthy society. Folks smoke, or they don't exercise. Sitting is the new smoking. Or they don't exercise, or they don't eat well. And those have catastrophic healthcare consequences. 50% of what we spend in healthcare costs is due to preventable behaviors. It's unfortunate that there is really no incentive via the law for people to stay healthy. In fact, the law, the Affordable Care Act, went the other direction because now you can't rate based on somebody's health at all. Mm-hmm. There's no incentive to being healthy. You're going to pay the same as everybody else does. And smart legislation, in my opinion, would provide meaningful incentives to folks to become healthier.
We're speaking with Brian Gillette. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Group Benefits Limited, based in Urbandale. And we're talking about those wild swings in insurance costs for some who are insured. At the same time, Brian, when we talk about that, that's all points back to individual responsibility. And individual responsibility isn't necessarily something that a lot of people take seriously.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit Pollyanna-ish thinking to say, well, if we'd all just get healthy, we would. The other main culprit, I think, it's really interesting because this is such an emotional debate, and I get it. It affects everybody's health and their pocketbooks. And everybody wants to point fingers. You know, it's the insurance companies. No, it's those prescription drug manufacturers. No, it's the hospital. No, the doctor. And in reality, there aren't necessarily bad guys. I mean, there might be a bad guy somewhere, but ultimately what we have is a broken system. It is a system where the consumer is disconnected from cost because the consumer is not paying the bill. When they go to the hospital, no one ever discusses cost. And the other thing is the consumer doesn't have access to any quality data. So imagine a scenario. What if we passed a law in this country related to purchasing cars? Okay, here's the new rules. There will be three new rules. Number one, when you go to purchase the car, you will not be given any price information. You can ask as many times as you want, find whatever creative way you can think of to ask, but you won't be told what it costs. Number two, you will have access to no quality data. So maybe you go to JD Power and Associates or Consumer Reports, whatever, that won't be there. So far you don't like this very much. You might like the third rule though. The third rule is when you go to buy the car, somebody else will pay for it. Now that sounds like the most ridiculous system you could ever devise. Imagine if we did pass a law like that, cars would be very expensive, we'd start to have concerns about quality, and it would just be a terrible system. And yet, I just described how we make major healthcare purchases in this country without access to price data, without access to quality data, and really with no incentive to care. So you've got to create a market where you have an engaged consumer who actually cares about and engages with price data and has access to quality data. That's, you know, how this should work. But boy, we're a long ways from that.
Well, to get that to work, you've got to have a lot of players on the field say, yeah, okay, we can do that. Is that likely to happen?
You know, honestly, not in the foreseeable future. I mean, I think if all we ever do, I even heard, you know, the politicians even now running for president are pointing fingers at insurance companies and saying things like, really not helpful. It's not helpful discourse. It's not getting at what are the true drivers of cost. But I do feel like as these rate increases come into effect in 2017, and ultimately you'll see continued rate increases on the group side as well, we are reaching a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
We're reaching a threshold where something is going to have to be done. The ACA actually did a lot of good things in terms of providing access to coverage for folks who didn't have it before. But where the ACA failed is doing anything to lower healthcare costs. And we're going to have to get all of the players together, or we're just going to continue to circle the drain here.
Right. We're with Brian Gillette, ladies and gentlemen. What, Brian, in your opinion, do these individuals that are going to get hit with these large rating, what's their options? What's going on? What can they do to help maybe mitigate some of that?
Well, for some of them, they will be largely insulated from carrier rate increases if they are subsidy eligible. So for those folks out there who today are having the government pay part of their premium, that was part of the law.
Right.
In other words, if your income is within 400% of the federal poverty level, and to kind of baseline that, a family of four making right around $100,000 a year, you would be eligible for subsidies that they actually dictate how much you have to pay, what percent of your income. But in that environment, regardless of what the carrier increase is, it doesn't change what you pay because you're always paying a percentage of your income. So for those folks who have subsidies, they are going to be insulated from the carrier's rate increases. Notably, nobody who has a Wellmark policy today is getting a subsidy because Wellmark has not been
correct
on the exchange or on the marketplace. Now, Wellmark has announced they will be on the marketplace in some counties in 2017. Okay, so for the subsidy eligible folks, they will be insulated from this because the government's going to pay the additional premium. For everybody else, Wellmark, for example, is coming out with two new underwriting corporations and two new products with very skinny networks and frankly, a different benefit design. We don't know exactly how much less expensive those plans will be than their plans they have today, but presumably there'll be a significant price drop there. So you're going to have those options. I think we are getting to the point where you're going to see some people make some interesting choices. They might go to short-term major medical plans, which are not creditable by the ACA, so they don't meet that standard, but they actually provide great coverage, and they're very inexpensive relative to a standard individual plan. It's not a perfect solution. It doesn't pay for any pre-existing conditions. But for people who can pass the little underwriting that goes on, it's better than nothing. You know, I'm not in a position where I would advocate that necessarily, but if your choice is going to be, I can't afford this premium, period. And therefore, if your choice is uninsured or that, I would take that over uninsured.
Mm-hmm. Brian Gillette from Group Benefits Limited. We're talking about the rate increases and healthcare as it pertains to individuals not only in Iowa, but across the United States. Brian, to get to that healthier state initiative, and there's all of that kind of conversation out there, and here in the state of Iowa, we've not done a really good job. We're still in the middle of the pack, so to speak. So what other steps can individuals do, like right today, what tomorrow? What can they start to do that will improve their opportunities and chances for health?
Well, I will tell you, every plan that you're going to have today, any plan that you'd be on today is going to have significant cost sharing built in, whether it's deductibles, coinsurance, copayment. And so a couple things that are, number one, if you actually lead a healthier lifestyle, I know I have to say it, you're less likely to have significant healthcare costs because you won't, you'll be less likely to have a heart attack or less likely to get cancer. And so if you are leading a healthy lifestyle, get up and move, grab a Fitbit and make sure you walk 10,000 steps a day. That would be a really terrific idea. I have another concept that I think is going to get traction, and we're really at the doorstep of this too. And that is this, it's one of the few things I've seen come along that really has the opportunity to lower costs. You know, healthcare is an interesting industry because usually in industry, new technology lowers costs. Mm-hmm. But in healthcare, new technology, a new kind of scanning device, a new prescription drug, tends to raise costs. Now, this technology I'm about to describe, I think, can lower costs, and that is something called telehealth or telemedicine. Yeah. There are plans you can buy, and our company represents a company called Healthiest You. And for something like $9 a month, you can get this card. And what it gives you the opportunity to do is to have access to a doctor via the phone. And for about 50% of the reasons you'd normally go to a doctor, those kinds of things can be handled in a telehealth environment. So you would make a phone call, you'll be connected to a doctor, and they can, for a lot of things, they can do that diagnosis over the phone. What we're seeing happen, believe it or not, are people are taking pictures of rashes,
sure,
texting them to their doctor, those kinds of things. There are actually a device being created where you can connect it to the camera on your phone and take a picture of your child's ear. And no, I didn't just make that up. And send that to your doctor so they could diagnose that way. They can actually write the prescription. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything to make that phone if you have that product. You know,
right,
it's like a $10 a month or so product, and then you'd have access. It's not going to be for everything, and it's not a panacea, but it is a way to lower costs, absolutely. And so we're going to see a lot of, I think you're going to see a lot more of that. The provider groups, even locally, are offering different avenues to access their providers through a telehealth environment. And that can lower costs. So I think you're going to see a lot of activity around that as time goes on.
Amazing stuff. Thanks, Brian, for sharing this with us. I think this is so timely, and people are so interested, and they're exercised about this at the same time. Good stuff.
Yep. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Gillette, ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Operating Officer at Group Benefits Limited. All right, we've got to clear out of here for just a minute. We'll be back. Thanks for being with us on Insight on Business, the News Hour.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around the house, get high and watch them too. Here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down.